I've titled this morning's message, Evidently His. And quite a few years ago, a group of salesmen went on a national sales convention in Chicago, and they had assured their wives that they would be back in plenty of time for dinner on Friday night. But the meetings had run over time, and they had to race frantically to the airport. And as they rushed through the terminal, one of these salesmen inadvertently kicked over a table which held a display of apples, baskets of apples. And the apples flew everywhere, all over the floor, but without stopping looking back, they ran on and they managed to get to the plane in time for the boarding, which they had nearly missed. All but one. And he paused and he took a deep breath and he experienced a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apple stand had been overturned. And he told his friends to go on without him, and he waved goodbye, and he told one of them to call his wife whenever they arrived at their home destination, explained that he'd be taking a later flight. And he returned to the terminal where the apples were all over the floor. And he was glad that he did, because the 16-year-old girl was totally blind. And she was crying, and the tears were running down her cheeks, and she was at the same time groping around the floor, trying to gather her spilled produce as the crowds would swirl around her, with nobody stopping and nobody caring about the situation that she was in. And the salesman knelt down on the floor beside her, and he gathered up the apples, and he put them into the baskets, and he helped set up the display again. And as he did this, he noticed that some of the apples had become bruised and damaged, and so he put them aside into another basket. And when he'd finished, he pulled out his wallet, and he said to the girl, "Here, please, take this $40 for the damage that we did. I really hope that we haven't ruined your day. I hope that you're okay." And as the salesman started to walk away, the blind girl called out to him, "Mister." And he paused and he turned and he looked back into her face as she said, "Are you Jesus?" I wonder, has anybody ever asked you, "Are you by any chance a Christian?" Today, I want to look at the topic of living a life that reflects Christ. Earlier, Angus read for us from Exodus chapter 34. So let's put it into context. The Israelites had miraculously been delivered from slavery in Egypt. They had left Egypt and they came to Mount Sinai. And that's the place where God had spoke to Moses originally through the burning bush. And here God would give them his covenant, the rules that they were to live by, and also his promise to provide for them and to protect them. But already they had sinned. They'd made and worshipped the golden calf, and Moses had broken those tablets of stone that were given by God. And that was followed by a time of mourning and repentance. And now Moses came before God again. He wanted evidence that the Lord was with him and that God would help him. And so in Exodus 33, verse 18, Moses prays that he might see the glory of God. And God replies with these words in verses 19 to 23. The Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." And now, Exodus 34 that Angus read for us, Moses goes into the mountain to meet with God. And God declares his glory like he said he would. But it's not like you would expect, with thunder and lightning and power and authority and majesty, but in revealing his character. He talks, and we read it earlier in verses 6 and 7 of Exodus 34, about his mercy, grace, patience, goodness, truth, forgiveness, justice. In Exodus 33, Moses had asked God that he would help them to be a different people, different from the world around them. How would God help them to be different from the world around them? And God's way of helping Moses and the Israelites is to declare to them and help them to understand the kind of God they believed in. And so it is for us. As we learn more about God, our lives should be different too. As we discover who God is, as we learn about his greatness and faithfulness, we learn that we can trust him to be with us and help us as he did with Moses. And so we're going to think maybe two or three of those attributes of God, those characteristics that God has. Because God really did show his goodness and glory to Moses, and he shows it to us as well. I think it's amazing. How amazing that a holy God would make a covenant with a sinful man in the first place. And in doing so, he shows his love and his mercy. We talk about the love and mercy of God, but this is how it works out, that a holy God would want to make a covenant with us. And it wasn't just to the Jewish people, but it's for us as well. In Romans 5, verse 8, it says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's incredible. A holy God dying for a sinful man that we might be reconciled to him. Now, we know that God's justice, which is another of his attributes, God's justice declares that sin must be punished. We know Romans 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. And the covenant that God gave to Moses clearly showed what God expected, and we soon see that people couldn't live up to that standard. So to pay the price for their sin, blood had to be shed. An animal was sacrificed. It became the substitutionary atonement. That animal died in the place of the person because the wages of sin is death. But when we come to the Easter story, we see how perfectly God's justice and God's mercy meet. God could very well have allowed us to face the penalty for our own sins. That's what his justice demands. But God let his sinless son become the atoning lamb, the substitutionary atonement, my substitutionary atonement, dying in my place, dying in your place, paying the price for our sin forever. And so as we finish Romans 6, verse 23, we see the effect of the new covenant in Christ, because it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we know Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. These attributes of God, as we learn things about God, it helps us to understand who he is, and it helps us to live in a different way. But if we go back to Exodus 34, we find that Moses spends some time with God, in fact, 40 days and 40 nights. And what was the result? Well, we read it earlier. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. The result of spending time with God is that Moses' face shone. The people could see that he had been with God. They could see God's presence with him. Now, I get teased sometimes at home. I have a lot of customers from the south of Ireland, and whenever I'd be speaking to them on the phone, my accent changes, my voice changes, and Lorna will know that I've been speaking to somebody from the south because it lasts for a little while. Maybe you're like that. People think that you're maybe making fun of the person you're talking to, but you match into the way they talk, and so it has a transformation on my voice. But so it was for Moses. His face reflected the glory of God. He had to put a veil over his face so he could talk to the people. And then when he would come back before God, he would remove the veil, and then he would put the veil back on again as he came back to the people. Every time he went into the presence of God, he would radiate with God's glory. It was obvious when Moses had been with God. Now let's bring that over to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory," transitory though it was, "will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness?" The old covenant was special. It was amazing. It was a covenant of God with man, but it showed where we fell short, and atonement had to be made. It brought death. But even through that old covenant, the impact was evident on Moses. And what Paul is saying is, how much more should we be affected as partakers of the new covenant in Christ because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us? Verse 18 of that chapter tells us that we can come openly before God. We can come right into His presence. We don't need to be afraid of His glory. We are excited by it. We welcome it. We sing of His power and majesty as we have just done. We are awed by His holiness and His authority, but it must have an impact on our lives. As you spend time with God in prayer, reading the Bible, meditating on it, it should have an effect on your life. As you learn more about who God is, the Bible tells us that in this verse, you're transformed into His image with an ever-increasing glory. Another way of saying that is, as we are in the presence of God, we are made to resemble His character more and more. So as we read about the attributes and characteristics of God, we say, "Lord, do that in me. Create that in me." I trust that other people can tell when you've been in the presence of Jesus. Even as we go from church this morning, that we are lifted, that we are changed. Our faces might not shine like Moses, but we should shine as lights in the community and in the world. As we look to Jesus in true faith, as we spend time with Him in God's Word, the Holy Spirit works in our lives to transform us. And we are helped, as Stephen said last week, by the use of Bible study notes, small Bible study groups, through teachers and pastors. These are ways that we are helped in our walk with God. And not only does God want this to happen in your life, but as a church, we want it to happen in each other's lives as well. We want to encourage each other and help each other to press on towards the mark and the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I suppose, folks, it comes down to this, that if we claim to know Jesus, if we take the family name on us, say, "I am a Christian," then we should walk and talk and act and react in ways that are shaped by Christ's example and His presence in our lives. When the world looks at you, do they see Jesus? Most people out there never read their Bible. And you may be the only Bible that they read. You are the Bible bound in shoe leather. And so knowing God is not about quoting scripture or attending church. It's actually living out the Word of God in our lives as it unfolds each day. It's living in a way that people who are around us might stop and say, "Excuse me, are you Jesus?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this lesson from Exodus chapter 33, 34, the life of Moses and the people of Israel. We thank You for how it's transformed across for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And Lord, while we might understand it, we pray that You would apply it to our hearts. Whenever we feel like being selfish, whenever we feel like doing what suits us best, help us by your grace and by your Spirit to do what pleases you, to live in a way that pleases you, to think, what would Jesus do? And so I pray that as we go from here, that our lives might shine, that we might be lights in this world which is in so much darkness, where there is so much uncertainty and fear. Lord, I pray that people might see that we have been with Jesus and the difference that you make, the confidence that you give us, and the faith that we have in you that all will be well. Help us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.